Hey, this is Tiki Borgram with CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Clubhouse with Kyle Bailey.
Welcome back to the MAGA News Studios here in Radford and back to the clubhouse. Danny Noakes, Chris Barnhart hanging out with you on a rainy Monday afternoon. Chris Coleman from Tech Sideline is here for all of our number one. Again, follow him on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL. Hit us up on the Phillips Real Estate Hotline, 888-639-4900 if you want to get in on the conversation. Most of the conversation today is Frank Beamer dominated, and understandably so. And we've spent the first couple of segments talking about Frank, Chris, but let's shift our attention now to the game on Saturday, because Virginia Tech got a win that it badly, badly needed over a very bad Boston College team. Now, their defense, I don't want to say it wasn't as advertised. It was great. It is good. But it probably isn't the number one overall defense in the country, like the statistics will tell you.
They've had some cornerback injuries, and I think that's really hurt them. As far as their physicality up front, they're a very, very physical football team. I was impressed with Tech's offense. I think Tech's offense, now that they're focused on giving the ball to Trayvon McMillan, and now they've got Michael Brewer back, I think the offense is much improved. And I think with the defenses Virginia Tech is going to face down the stretch, I think they're going to get an opportunity to show that they're much improved for the first time this year.
Yeah, Trayvon is as soon as he got the news that he was going to be the featured back, he's taken it and literally run with it. I mean, back-to-back 100-yard games now and 33 carries. I said in the pregame show with Kyle, I said Virginia Tech has to establish the run game early, but if they can't, if Boston College is stopping it, you can't completely go away from it. Even though Boston College does have a really good rush defense, you got to keep feeding them the ball. And that's kind of what it seemed like they did with 33 carries to your number one running back. That's something that we haven't seen from Virginia Tech in the last couple of years, at least.
Yeah, they were going to run the football, no question, especially in the second half. You're up by 20 points at halftime, 20 to nothing to be exact, and Boston College has not scored more than 17 points against an FBS team all season. So what are the chances that they're going to score 20 points in one half against Virginia Tech?
Not good.
Yeah, very, very, very low chances. So, you know, it was the Trayvon McMillan show in the second half. I mean, you just saw first down run, second down run, third down pass. I mean, it was obvious Virginia Tech, you know, turtled up, for lack of a better phrase there. I mean, they're just trying to get the heck out of Dodge. A lot of crazy things have happened to Virginia Tech the last few years. They've found new ways to lose games each week. But when you're up 20-0 against Boston College, rather than finding a new way to lose a game, you just run the football and get out of there before something crazy happens.
Right, right. The thing, though, that was encouraging, it seemed like Virginia Tech came out with a sense of urgency. And that showed, to me, that showed in the play calling. You know, you use an end-around pass from Isaiah Ford to Michael Brewer earlier in the game. Brewer did deliver a nice ball down the sideline to Cam Phillips on that touchdown, but they just seemed to open up the playbook more early in that game because they were just hell-bent on not falling behind.
I think that's exactly right. You know, Scott Loeffler made a comment on the radio after the game. He said the game plan going in was to be fairly conservative on Tech side of the field, but once they got to BC side of the field, they were going to be very, very aggressive and try to score touchdowns, and you saw that play out. They drove down the field on the first drive, eventually got stopped, but because of the great field position, they got the ball on BC territory to start their second drive, and they went right down the field through passes. They were very, very balanced, and they looked like an aggressive offense, and I think since they were operating on BC side of the field, that's why they looked that way. You know, you don't want to get, when you're playing BC's defense, and you know their offense is just so terrible, you don't want to make mistakes in your own territory and give them a short field, because it's probably the only way they're going to be able to score. So it's somewhat of a conservative strategy, at least when you're on your side of the field. But when you're on their side of the field, yeah, you go for it, because you can score a couple of touchdowns and that's it. There's no way they're going
to
come back.
Right. Chestnut Hill is not an easy place to win a game. It's a place that's given Virginia Tech trouble in the past. The last win they got against Boston College, I believe was back in 2012, was in Chestnut Hill. But still, not an easy place to go in and win. They don't have the biggest crowd, but it, you know, Coach Beamer mentioned that it's one that they'll taunt you a little bit coming in and out of the tunnel, but you know, not I guess any crowd will do that. But you know, John Fadul played a decent game back there for Boston College. Pretty much all you all Steve Adazio could have asked him to do. Again, you know, Virginia Tech's defense hasn't been as advertised this season, but there's still a heck of a lot of talent on that defensive unit for Bud Foster.
Yeah, and I felt bad for Fadul. I actually thought he played well. I mean, I think that was as well as you could expect a true freshman walk-on quarterback to play, a guy who had been a scout team player 2 weeks before that. And, you know, Adazio's play calling was very limited because you just can't give that guy the whole offense. He's not that advanced. He's probably not that great of a passer anyway as a walk-on. But you needed somebody in there mobile. I mean, poor Flutie wouldn't have been a sitting duck. Flutie's the best passer they have, but he doesn't have any good receivers. So it would have been a disaster. I mean, I'm not sure they would have scored a point with Flutie as their quarterback. You know, Fadul does not have a future as a quarterback in the ACC, but he is tough. He was lowering his shoulder. He ran over Deion Clark at one point, and I think they should try to put 20, 30 pounds on that guy and move him to fullback. I think he'd be a good fit there as a fullback.
That way, yeah, that way you can get him on the field and then get your injured quarterbacks back. I believe we have a phone call here on the Phillips Real Estate Hotline. Who do we got?
Tim in Radford.
Say that again?
Tim in Radford.
Tim, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. I'm just I'm enjoying the show today. I was emotionally distraught by the press conference. You know, I mean, everything we expected, and Frank went out with his press conference with a lot of class. I have full faith in Whit Babcock to make the right hire. There's no doubt in my mind. And the last thing is that when Brewer's in the game, we're a much better team offensively, although we don't need to take our foot off the gas in the second half. That's it.
All right, Tim. Thanks for the call, man. Well said. Well, two things there. I mean, he pretty much said it all with the emotion on that press conference. That was...
Yeah.
That was just tough to watch. That was tough to be at. It was tough to be in that room because everyone there has their own admiration for Frank Beamer. But he said this. When someone asked him, how does he want to be remembered? He said, I want them to think of he is who he is. Mm-hmm. And he's got a sign in his office that says, it is what it is. So it kind of... That's just the kind of guy he is, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of guy he is. Yeah, I think that he's always used that phrase, it is what it is, quite a bit. And, you know, if you're struggling, Frank's the type of guy, the type of coach you want to have if your back's against the wall, because, you know, if you've made mistakes in the past to get yourself in a difficult situation and you're 4-5 on the season like we are right now, you can't change the past. It is what it is right now. We're 4-5. The only thing we can control is the future, and we need to win two of these last three to make a bowl game, and I feel better about the chances of that happening than I did a week ago at this time. If Tech had lost to Boston College, then they would have had to win three in a row, and that would have been not likely for a 3-6 football team. But now you're 4-5. All you got to do is win two out of three. Two of those teams have losing records. You get UNC at home, and we haven't talked about this.
Oh, yeah.
UNC is going to be a monster game. I think the cheapest StubHub price for a ticket before Frank's announcement yesterday was $32. And then within a couple hours after his announcement, the cheapest ticket on StubHub was $70. So this is going to be a game you want to get to if you can and save your ticket stub.
We'll go into the rest of Virginia Tech's schedule in the next segment. But the other thing Tim mentioned was how much better Virginia Tech's offense is with Michael Brewer at quarterback. I'll say this, you really couldn't have asked much more of Brendan Motley to do in a fill-in role with losing Michael Brewer in a big emotional game in week one at halftime, pretty much at halftime. He played one half of football, so to lose him, I don't think Virginia Tech lost too much of a step when Motley was in at quarterback, but it seems like there's just a lot more confidence in the offense with Michael Brewer at quarterback.
I think the mid-range passing game, it takes a huge step forward with him in there. He sees things over the middle very, very quickly. He's probably the best timing quarterback Virginia Tech has had. And this, it's a pro-style offense, and pro-style offenses are built around timing. And that's not really what Brendan Motley is. So if Virginia Tech goes into next season with Brendan Motley as their starting quarterback, it's going to have to be a different style passing offense. You can't ask him. That's just not in his background. to run that style of offense. I think he can be a very effective quarterback in the right offense, but probably just not in Virginia Tech's offense.
Yeah, and it's been interesting just to watch everything happen that's happened to Virginia Tech this season. The injury to Michael Brewer, even before the season started, losing C.J. Revis, losing Kendall Fuller, the carousel in the backfield between J.C. Coleman, Trey Edmonds, and now the starter Trayvon McMillan. It's just been a really interesting season for Virginia Tech.
It's been a lot of storylines.
Yeah, big time. Obviously the biggest one is going to be Frank Beamer hanging it up after 29 seasons. And to go out with four straight wins and a bowl victory would be great. They got to take it one game at a time, though. And every week there's going to be new emotions. It's going to get closer to Beamer's end. Mm-hmm. But I think this does nothing but help Virginia Tech
in
the long run.
I think we've got to consider ourselves extremely lucky the way this is ending. I mean, you look at how most coaching careers end. The guy gets fired, or if he is a quote-unquote legend, he stays too long and it's a messy end and he's pushed out, or like Bobby Bowden was, or just not as effective later in his career. Frank hasn't been as effective later in his career than he was, 5-10 years ago, but he's still leaving the program in a pretty good spot. This is still a solid football program. The end was not messy. He's not getting pushed out. He got a chance to go to a bowl game. Everybody's happy with each other. Witt's happy with him. He's happy with Witt. He made a great comment today about not wanting to see the fan base divided. And he knew the fan base was a little bit divided about him at this point. And he just decided, well, that's it. And my respect for the man only went up for the way he handled his own exit.
Perfectly said, man. Perfectly said. We've got Chris Coleman for one more segment here in hour number one. Kyle Bailey is also back next segment, so be sure to keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.